Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Mike Eckel, senior correspondent here in Prague, filling in for our regular host, Steve Gutterman. Yes, it's that time of year again. No, we're not talking about Orthodox Christmas. It's not New Year. It's not even Old New Year. It's President Vladimir Putin's annual State of the Nation address. The annual address to the Duma, the Federation Council, governors, special federal representatives, judges, pretty much everyone in Russia's ruling political class, is like many of the major annual speeches in other countries. It's equal parts bragging about accomplishments and telegraphing major policy initiatives and other signals to political opponents thrown in. For Putin, it is his second since being reelected to the second six-year term in 2018, and it comes at a time of growing questions in and out of Russia about his political future. Next year, 2021, will be the elections for the State Duma. But 2024 is the more important date. That's when Putin is constitutionally required to step down as president. The problem is that no one really knows what or who will come next. There's no clear successor waiting in the wings. Many of Russia's elite have deep vested interests in the current Putin system, so there's powerful interests who want him to stay on. But there's currently no legal way for that to happen. And no, it's not too soon to be talking about this. Putin himself set tongues wagging last month when he made an oblique reference to tweaking the Constitution. Today on the podcast, Putin's State of the Nation address. What should we be looking for and why? Joining me today to разбираться с этим вопросом, to have a go at this question, is Ирина Лагунина, a sharp-eyed, long-time correspondent with RFERL's Russian service. Ира, добро пожаловать. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the podcast. Let's get right to it. The 64,000 ruble question. What do you expect to hear from this year's speech to the Federal Assembly?
Well, me personally, I cannot say that I should expect anything or should not expect anything. I can say what the expectations are. The expectations are that the same political elite that you referred to, that listened to the same speeches and State of the Union addresses for the last 20 years, will probably fall asleep during the speech. The hope is that the Russian television would not show them on the screen of State TV as they did last year.
Yes, indeed. We did see several people nodding off last year. And I don't think necessarily that's an indication that people disapprove. It's maybe an indication that these speeches tend to rehash old things that we've heard in the past. Last year, for example, we heard from Putin a laundry list of issues that have been priorities for the Kremlin. Alleviating poverty, endemic problems with the national healthcare system. Putin also mentioned what to do with the question of what to do with municipal waste, trash, and rubbish from big cities like Moscow. We also heard about family values last year, which was said in the context of Russia's falling birth rate and demographic problems. I imagine we'll hear more of that this year. What do you think?
Well, speaking about family values or skrepy, as it is called in Russia, I don't even know which English word to use for skrepy.
I'm not sure either.
It's like the paperclip, basically. You know, there is nothing new in it because, well, first of all, you know, about 10 years ago, I was shocked in Moscow metro when I entered the metro. And I'm in Moscow like once, twice a year, definitely. So I'm entering the Moscow after like half a year of not being there. And I see this portrait of, you know, red-cheeked, very strong lady with three kids. And the slogan is, the country needs your heroism, meaning that three kids is an act of heroism in modern Russia, because people don't do it. They don't have financial financial wealth or any material support to support three kids in their family. So there is nothing new in this particular area. Other areas, the key areas that Putin mentioned last year, were also, I wouldn't say that there was something new in it, except for probably the waste, which was started to be a major problem in 2018. And I think that this is why he mentioned it. But also the possibility is that he mentioned this problem because he was planning to give all the waste eliminating facilities, and there are not that many recycle facilities in Russia. It's mostly waste burning or waste storing facilities that are being built right now in different areas. Maybe because he wanted to give all this lucrative money to his friends, which happened to be the case last year, and which caused a lot of outrage all around the country, and one of the areas, one of the regions where the tensions with the authorities are now very, very strong. It's the Arkhangelsk area. It's Shia's waste dump area that they are constructing that will pollute all the rivers around, as the local activists say, and including the White Sea, actually, that that can be affected by this.
The Shias case is interesting, and I'm sure as longtime listeners to the podcast know, it's become a little bit of a sort of crucible or a critical moment for not only how activists and opponents to Kremlin policies mobilize, but it's also provided an insight into how environmental issues are a really powerful motivating factor for many Russians. And the Shias protests have had people been out in the forests in the dead of winter, trying to block this effort to build a major new landfill. Where waste from Moscow and the Moscow region, like huge amounts of waste, tons and tons and tons of waste, would be trained and shipped up from the south. So the Shias case, I think, is really, really interesting as far as how people view their ability to challenge Kremlin policies.
But continue with the waste. One of the outcomes of Putin's slogan that we will solve this issue was Moscow claimed that starting from January 1st this year, they now start to separate waste and will put recycled container. They are obliged to put recycled containers starting from the 1st of January. So right now, all the groups of Moscovites in social media are wondering where are those containers. Mm-hmm. They don't see them. Mm-hmm. So this is, slogans and reality.
You mentioned family values. We talked about demographics, and demographics is one of the key issues, one of the 12 areas, if I'm not mistaken, that are included in the National Projects Initiative, which, as many listeners know, is this six-year, $400 billion effort that formally got underway last year. It's a Kremlin priority aimed at transforming the Russian economy from being resource-driven, that is, oil and gas and minerals, to being high-tech, innovative, 21st century, an effort to tap into the country's deep reserve of intellectual and scientific capital. The national projects got mentioned this year. Will they get mentioned this year? They got mentioned last year. Will they get mentioned this year? I mean, what's your sense of that?
National projects is a very convenient topic. It is extremely convenient topic because, there was a national project Skolkovo, where the Kremlin administration actually started to experiment with so-called national projects. A lot of money has been wasted on Skolkovo. Nothing came out. In fact, they opened the new railway station in Skolkovo, mm-hmm. On Kievskaya Railroad, And if you go through this railway, which is a very old one, it's Moscow-Kiev railway, if you go there and if you look at this new Skolkovo station, I always wondered, how did they manage to build it that rubbish and old so that mm-hmm. it is absolutely equal with the old stations? It doesn't mm-hmm. even look new anymore.
That's interesting.
So, and if you look at the this national project, even the speaker of the upper chamber of House of Federation, Council of Federation, Valentina Matviyenko at some point confessed that according to the polls, only 7% of Russians know or heard something more or less in detail about the national projects. 37% heard a little bit, and 55% when they were asked about national projects heard it first time. But when I said that it's a very convenient thing to do is because, for example, the one of the projects is healthcare. So the government put forward the project to ensure better healthcare. Money were allocated. The project itself, let me give you an example. The project itself, for example, lists to ensure decrease in death rate of people below retirement age. Mm-hmm. To reach the number of 350 per 100,000 working people. Right now it's about 400. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty stable in the last year. Then the Ministry of Health reports that it takes initiative to make this decrease almost 20%. Then the government accounting chamber says, no, this is not calculated properly. The government was wrong. So as a result, all this bureaucratic machine, all these numerous ministries, commissions, accountants, they're all working. Media publishes stories about it every day. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been done. Nothing changes. But the projection of work, of activity of the government, of constant development is there.
Well, and this is something that that many critics of the national project have pointed out. They said that it's all good and fine to dump money into a major effort, like, for example, making Russian roads safer or improving the birth rate. But when it comes down to the actual nitty-gritty of how it's done, is it possible, as you say, from the federal level to the state level to the oblast level to the okrug level to the gorodskoy level, is it possible that the bureaucracy just gums up the system and money either gets wasted or just not spent, which has been the issue in the first year of the national projects? The money hasn't been spent.
Exactly. And, a lot of this is just words because, for example, one of the projects is to support small and medium-sized business, mm-hmm. Right? And to develop market economy and private sector in Russia. And there is a goal to privatize state enterprises. Now, let me tell you that in 3 years, for example, value of the state enterprises that will be privatized is 10 billion rubles. This is nothing. You cannot even say of privatizing state economy if it's 10 billion rubles. This mm-hmm. is just pennies.
Well, we'll have to see if the national projects gets emphasized in President Putin's speech and what areas he decides to focus on. The other thing that we've seen in past year's speeches, of course, these speeches tend to be signals to the Russian political class and the Russian electorate more broadly. But there've also been signals to foreign observers, messages for both allies and adversaries. In the past, Putin has made a big deal out of new weapon systems that Russia has developed and deployed. And those are messages, obviously, that have been directed at NATO and to the United States. Do you think we'll hear more about new weapon systems, sophisticated missiles, and all the investment in the Russian military in this year's speech?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, that strangely enough, nobody was fired on Russian television for showing the old graphics to the so-called new systems in 2018.
Right, right, right. I recall that.
But I have to say that in terms of foreign policy and foreign messages, I think that the present situation is very favorable for Kremlin. From their point of view, of mm-hmm. course, because there are certain developments in the world that Kremlin can exploit to underline, for example, its peacekeeper's role in the world, mm-hmm. as Kremlin always wanted to show that was the case. For example, the new reality is the peace agreement in Libya.
Mm-hmm.
That's been signed in Moscow,
mm-hmm.
and that Putin can present as a direct result of his activity and Russian foreign policy. The new factor right now is Zelensky, compared to the
Ukrainian
last
president.
The new Ukrainian president compared to the last year that Putin had a meeting with.
Mm-hmm.
And right now he can say, for example, that, you know, I met with Mr. Zelensky, I explained him so and so and so, and right now it's up to Ukrainian government to stick to the agreements. I would say 90% sure that some sort of this phrase will be there. Plus Iran,
of course.
Where Putin can easily say that, you know, we asked the United States to show restraint. We always showed that the aggressive policy will lead to tragedy. And I'm sure that he will exploit this and turn it to his advantage, even though right now it's not that favorable for him, frankly, because not maybe oppositionally thinking people, but at least critically thinking minds. There is this analogy with Russian shooting of MH17
right.
Plane in over Donbass. But he can exploit this, and I think he absolutely will. And plus the new military dimension this year, of course, which I think he will start and will end with, will be the 75th anniversary of the victory in the Second World War.
Great Patriotic War.
Great Patriotic War, exactly. And the actually the warrior rhetoric and mm-hmm. the interpretations of history as Kremlin wants to see it already started. Probably he will not mention Stalin, Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator, in this speech this week, but it's already apparent that he tries to revise history and to bring this particular guy as the model of the strong state.
Well, we'll have to watch very closely with President Putin's speech. Ира, спасибо огромное.
One last thing. There is already, you know, Russia is not Russia without jokes. So there is the speech is not there yet, but the people are joking already, of course. And one of the best jokes that I've seen recently is Mr. Putin saying, "Well, this year, it's gonna be a breakthrough year for the Russian economy." Vladimir Vladimirovich, is there anything that you didn't break yet?
That's wonderful. Well, again, we'll have to keep that and look out for the jokes, perhaps, perhaps after Putin's speech. But спасибо огромное, Ира. Thank you so much for joining us today. That's it for us, folks. This is RFERL's Week Ahead in Russia. Thank you all for tuning in.